Koach. I was standing a few minutes and reminiscing about some of the Talmidim from Shalabim that have come to Washington and back. And I think there is a common denominator, and I think if I can put a finger on it, I'd like to use lashon that the Gemara uses halachically. There are two types of wet things. There's something called tofeach. Something is wet, and there's tofeach al nas latfiach. But something is wet enough that it gets your hands wet when you touch it. It's two different madrigals for tumah and other things that's relevant for. And if I can think, the people that come to mind from Shalabim, their Yiddishkeit, their being ben Torah, are contagious. Somehow, there's one boy who just got married, he'd been here a few years ago, and this was his third or fourth year by us, I don't remember, and he is a person that when people stick to him, they get turned on themselves from him. And it's a tremendous madrega. It's a world of difference if you're a good Jew or if you're someone that radiates it in a way that affects other people. And I guess it's something, it's a tchuna that yeshiva gives over, a certain strength and a certain depth that you can radiate the avos haTorah to other people. And you'd be well advised to get as much of it as you can, and each and every one of you, you should develop yourself and become tefeach hanas hatfeach of what you are and who you are. I'd like to talk about a topic that is kind of a little bit on the deep side, and I'd like to explain it in ways, I guess, that we could deal with it a little bit, understand it, and find out how relevant it is. In the overall parashias and Shmos and Ve'era, Tul Matan Torah, besides the Golas and the Gula, there's another process going on, which Ve'era points at. HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts, our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts with the name Elohim. That's how we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elohim. As we move towards Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is finally Megala himself as Yud Kei Vav Kei. It says in Rashi later on that had the Harif and Megadev Bamidbar know Shem Hashem because he heard it at Har Sinai. That's where you heard this Shem HaMeforesh. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is we finally understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the obvious related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they knew the name, but they related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Elohim. The distinction has Elohim is Midas Adin, Yud Kei Vav Kei Misrachmim, but it's a much greater difference, and I'd like to understand it in its full difference. One more point about understanding these things. If mystical remains mystical, I don't see a particular point in it. In other words, if you can't describe it in terms and understandings that are meaningful to us, then leave it for the people that it is meaningful. Torah is Chayim. I'd like to understand it in a way that we have some shaykhus to it, that we really can relate to it and get something out of this big change. This is a great change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is changing how he projects himself to the world from Akim to Yudke Vavke. First thing is, where does that change occur? In other words, if I needed to point out a pasuk, where is that change beginning to happen? It blossoms fully in Har Sinai, but where is it beginning to change? So Moshe Rabbeinu sees the snare, and Moshe Rabbeinu begins to have this dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's Elohim. Now, the back and forth is all with the name Elohim. It says Hashem also, but this is Hashem speaking. But when he's talking about, when he's using, he's describing himself as describing Elohim. Vayomer Moshe Hashem, be Hashem, lo ish dvarim anochi, gam itmol gam shulshom, kvad peh v'kvad loshon anochi. Vayomer Hashem elov, misom peh l'odom, who's given a person a mouth? Omiyasum ilein. Who's given a person, who's made a person dumb? Oicherish, or deaf, or pikeach, or seeing, or either, or blind? Halo anochi Hashem. It seems, this is the phrase Anochi Hashem is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself as Havaya. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself Anochi Hashem. From the beginning of the conversation, which is Vayikra Elov Elokim Mitoch Hasneh, Kiyori Mehabit El Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has finally introduced himself as Anochi Hashem. And the word the Anochi Hashem is clearly the beginning of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why at this point in the dialogue? This is the turning point in a certain sense where HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to appear as such. So what's happened over here? I'd like to mention two questions on the issue itself, on the dialogue itself that the Rishonim ask. Specifically, the Ran asks it, but other Rishonim will ask it as well. They're quite apparent, and they're more local questions, but they're important in understanding the Inyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, "Mi sam pel adam? Who gave a person a mouth? Or mi yosum ilem? Or who makes a person dumb?" That phrase is logically incorrect. It's like if I walk into a room and I say, "Who put the light on?" That I understand. But if nobody put the light on and it's dark, I don't say, "Who put the darkness in?" It's a negative. There's one thing that requires an act, and there's one thing that's an absence of an act. So we can say, "Who lit the light?" That's a good question. But who didn't light the light? Or who made darkness? That's not a very, very correct term. It actually is relevant to us every day in davening. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates darkness? HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses when to create light. But what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates darkness? So one teretz is, a teretz in Pshat, which the Ran says, and I think the Kolbo, if I'm not mistaken, says it in davening, that it's what's called in Hebrew Beloshon Hash'olah. It's a metaphor. It's you know, it's like when I want to say nobody, if everybody walked by and nobody put the light on outside, I say, "You've made this place dark." It's a metaphor, and in grammar it stands correct. Dibur Torah Losh Adam, and that's fine. That's a grammatical teretz, and but it's fine as such. A second question is, the Ran asks this in Drasha Saran. There's a sefer from the Ran on Chumash. I don't know if you're familiar or not. A very, very important sefer called Drasha Saran. It is written from the same Ran that you find in the back of your Gemara. It is a sefer that today is not so popular because it's not written in soundbite form. You actually have to learn through a whole shtickle. He tends to give deep yesodos, and he tends to flesh it out with a lot of nekudos. But it's a very important and very, very fundamental work. And the Ran says, asks a question on about Moshe Rabbeinu's abilities and so on. It says that a Navi is supposed to have a whole bunch of characteristics. He says he's supposed to be strong, he's supposed to be wealthy, he's supposed to be smart. Machlokas and Rishonim, if it's literally strong or Kovash Yitzro, but he needs a lot of qualities. And the reason is very simple. You're putting a Navi down, he's going to tell people, Dvar Hashem, you want it to be miskabel. And just like the Chinuch says about a Kohen, you can't have someone who is Balmum because he is going to, it's going to be mevazet Dvar Hashem. People are going to look at it and say, this person is a Balmum. It takes away from the luster of it. So the person needs to be presentable, and the person needs to be someone who is of, who's got the way to present himself. So there are a lot of nice qualities that we expect to have from a Navi. But the most important one, if we were to ask you what's the most important quality, we have to answer speech. A Navi is called Nivs Fasayim. He's God's spokesman. So if I ask somebody, "I've got a great spokesman for you. He is a man of integrity, impeccable education, everything like that." Yeah, but that's one small fault. He can't speak. He stutters. You know, he's a great spokesman, but he's got all the qualities. You look at the person, he'd laugh or cry, depending on whether he was serious or not. What does it mean? You take a spokesman, somebody who stutters, you know, all the other qualities are nice qualities. I think DeVelt knows there's a famous anecdote about Reb Chaim Brisker. Somebody asked to describe Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud for people that are not learned. What did Reb Chaim accomplish? So there's an anecdote, I doubt that it's true, but like all anecdotes are great stories. And the story goes as follows. That they were looking for a chazan in Brisk, and there were two candidates. So Harach says there are 10 qualities for a chazan. He's supposed to be God-fearing, and he's supposed to have troubles and problems, and he's supposed to be over 30, he's supposed to have a beard, etc., etc., and he's supposed to have a very good voice. So they had one chazan had 9 of the 10 qualities, everything but the voice, and the other chazan had one quality, he had the voice. So they came to ask Reb Chaim, the Rav, what should we take? They say it's 9-1. He's got 9 qualities, I have 1 quality. So he said, you take the one with the nice voice. So they asked him, but it's 9-1. So he said, those are qualities. This is the essence of a chazan. In other words, a voice is the chazan. The other ones are embellishments, they're qualities. In other words, Reb Chaim taught us to distinguish between the essence and the periphery or the additional, etc. So, a Navi is supposed to say the Dvar Hashem. Where is it? What's happening over here? How come he can't speak? I want to say what the Ran answers as a local Teretz. He says a Teretz that's a Yesod Stam, it's a good Yesod. But what I'm really aiming at is at a bigger picture, which I'm going to speak about soon. The Teretz that he says for this Inyan is as follows. You sometimes have people that rouse up. Hitler, Yimach Shemai V'Zichroi, took an entire nation and was able to, however bad or good they were, he was able to make monsters out of them, and his ability, his rhetoric, did a lot of it. So we look back in history and we say, how was he able to do what he did? One of the answers will be, he had the ability to incite people with speech. So when we look back and we say, how did he influence everybody? We say he incited people with speech, with his speech. It was unfortunately he had demagogic qualities, and he was able to do it. We look back, and one of our most fundamental proofs for the emes of Torah is that a few million people sat and listened to a person who said, this is emes, this is Torah, and so on and so forth. How could it be they didn't give him an argument? And we could say, very simple, he had a tremendous koach hadibur and was able to, he just could sway a mass like Abdullah, like Hitler could do it. Like you have Arab leaders that are extremely good at rousing up mobs, and that's how you do it. Moshe Rabbeinu was stuttered; he couldn't speak, and yet we listened because there was emes there. And that's a very powerful proof that it's the emes of Torah that did it. The reason why people listened to him was because of emes. Many of the Gdolim that I still remember were not, Reb Aaron Kotler I remember vaguely as a child, I heard him speak maybe once and I heard tapes, Reb Moshe Feinstein, they were actually, Chazon Ish and Brisker Rav by reputation, they actually were horrendously unable to speak, and yet people stood in awe of every word because it was emes. You felt it was emes, and you were macabre to emes despite the fact that they were not speakers in any stretch of the imagination. So Duran's point is, this is done to convey the amitoso shel Torah. He needed not to be able to speak so that we know that we listened to it because it was emes. That's a local teretz for this parasha, and I'm going to use it later on to address a much larger issue. Let's go back again to the issue of Elohim and Hashem, and understand the distinction. There's a Rashi in the beginning in Brachos. That's a very strange Rashi. The pasuk says, "V'ha'aretz ha'isu tohu v'avohu." So choshech, we know what it is. Tohom, we know what it is. Tohu v'avohu, not very clear words. I mean, there's a modern Hebrew meaning for it, which is, I guess, whatever's in Aza today is tohu v'avohu. You know, it means balagan. I guess that's the translation of it. But what does tohu v'avohu mean in Chumash? So Rashi says, tohu, so bohu is lashon reikus It's Sido in Aramaic. It's emptiness. Okay. Tohu, hu loshen tamo v'shimomo. She'odam tohe u'mishtoimim al bohu shebo. It is a perplexing type of emptiness. It's so empty that people wonder and ask, where does all the emptiness come from? That's the way Rashi explains two very critical words, tohu v'avohu. What does that mean? What does it mean people wonder why it's empty? Imagine this building, beautiful building. They finish building it, the Kaplan builds it well, and it does everything it's supposed to do, and the Hanhala walks in, and they say, why is it so empty here? What do you mean, why is it so empty? Because you didn't buy furniture. What do you mean, why is it so empty? I built the building, you got the marble you wanted, you got the lights you wanted, everything. What do you mean, why is it empty? The Akadosh Baruch created a world with nothing in it. It's empty. Fine. That's a good description. But it is so vexingly empty, so perplexingly empty, that people are astonished at how empty it could be. What do you mean astonished how empty it could be? If you don't have money to buy the furniture, it's going to be very empty. But what does it mean? I don't know what the words mean. Rashi's tamua. It's very perplexing. So let's give a mashal a little bit, and then we'll try to explain it in terms of the Bria and so on. But let's take an example. I have a house. Some parts of the house are nicer, some parts of the house are not so nice. You know, everyone's house got their little closets and skeletons and etc. And there's a spot in the basement that's kind of looks like it's not been painted, fallen apart, and so on. So someone goes through the house, and he sees that part of the basement. So he says to himself, well, you know, oversight, they ran out of money, they ran out of time, the painter ran out, you know, something, you know, whatever it is, it's an oversight, it's a lack, it's missing, etc. Plausible explanation. Somebody is touring the Metropolitan Museum of Art. The showcase art of, or National Gallery of Art, now that I'm in Washington, I have to plug Washington. National Gallery of Arts, a Smithsonian. And you have a place that has been endowed with hundreds of millions of dollars, and this room is Rembrandt, this room is Monet, this room is this, and every room's got... You come to one spot in the center, and there is no paint on the walls and no light in the ceiling. So, do you say, oh, it's an oversight, they forgot to paint the spot, they ran out of money, the paint didn't do his job? You would probably say the following. What is trying to do here? They're trying to sort of break up two different periods. They're trying to put you into some sort of mood of desolation, and it's supposed to be a backdrop for something else. I'm going to sit and look and stand at it and stare at it until I say no. There's been something put here. Something's been thrust here. The lack of paint has been put here in order to give me some sort of message. I'm being given a message by what's not there. Let's go and understand the difference between Elokim and Havaya in mentally, psychologically, and begin to understand what that change was. A guy, a frum guy, a secular person, looks around at the world and says, what a great universe. There must be somebody pulling strings here. There must be an all-powerful God. That concept is Elokim. Elokim means the all-powerful one, the almighty one. Every single person who has seichel and a heart is expected to believe in Elokim. Because the magnificence and the greatness of what there is in the universe demands that there is a creator, there is someone that's pulling strings, etc. and so on. All the inyanim of emuna as we process them and as we understand them. That's Elokim. And that's expected as a level that every cognizant human being is expected to understand that. Now there's a second issue, but that's not what Klal Yisrael has especially in mind. The name Yudke Vavke, more than anything else, means existence. To be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. It's not sort of mentally we imagine this big universe and the most powerful being pulling the strings. No. Whatever there is in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Duran says this in the Drashas, and it's a very, very, it's a very extraordinary point. I read it, just those words that are important. V'nichlal b'tshuva zos iyun dak mechachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was answering Moshe Rabbeinu on an extraordinarily fine point in the understanding of what the divine is. And he says that by a person, there is not possible to say someone did that which is not. If something is missing, it's because I didn't do it, not because I did it. It's true about everybody, about humans. Ach Hashem Yisbarach Eino Kein. Ki Kemoishu Sibas Koloifane Kinyin. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the reason for what there is in the world, Kach Hu Sibas Koloifane Haheder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the reason for what there is not. That which is not in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nothingness as well. If we need a mashal, it's the mashal I just gave you. When I don't paint my basement, when there's a part of the house that's empty, it's because of a lack of activity. I was negligent, I didn't have the money, didn't have the time, etc. When a museum that is all encompassing, every square inch of this museum has been thought out and planned, what's not there has been put there. In other words, I've left this spot empty. I made an empty spot for whatever reason I wanted over here. So when we perceive a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a Elokim, we only deal with what is there. When we perceive a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Yudke Vavke, everything in the world, what's not there, is also there. And let's read it back the way the Ran reads it in the Pasuk with the explanation that he gave. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, okay, you want me to go be a Navi, and you want me to speak to Klal Yisrael, and I'm missing a tool. I understand this in your hands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't lacking in Amunah. The hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has the power to endow you with speech, to endow you with sight, and etc. Give me speech. I'm missing speech, or whatever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Emunah is now switching to Havaya. I don't endow people only with sight. I endow them with blindness as well. Sometimes a person needs the blindness. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, I gave ilmus. I gave you being dumb because that's the tool that you're going to need. We have the Ran's explanation for it. In this case, we have to know why it's like that. But the Ran says, I need a person who mumbles to carry Dvar Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is where he says it, Vayom Hashem Elav, mi som pele adam, who gave a mouth, or mi yosum ilaim, who gave a person dumbness, or cheresh, or deafness, or pekeach, or sight, or even blindness. Hallo anochi havaya. We're now going to start looking at the world through the perspective of havaya. What there is not in the world, there also is, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an extraordinary turn of Lashon, which is very fascinating in Lashon Kodesh. As everything Lashon Kodesh is always kind of geared for extreme diuk. There are two words, yesh and en. The yesh means there is, en means there is not. We can't ever have a term en yesh together. It's like, and when we were kids, I don't know if they still have it, they used to have this cute pun on, yes, we have no bananas. I don't know, those of a certain age and above, well, have you no bananas? Yes, we have no bananas. And, you know, you can't take ain and yesh together in a sense. It doesn't make sense. If someone asks you, yesh lecha et, do you have a pen? And the person can answer, yesh, yeshli or enli. You can't say enli, en yeshli or yesh enli. It doesn't mean anything. Rishonim actually, Kadmonim Ramchal actually frequently does use those words together. But there's one place in the Pasuk that the Pasuk puts them together. For those who come on time Shabbos morning to say Ol Pesukah de Zimra, we say Ein Yesh Ruach Befihem. There is no there is Ruach Befihem. What does that mean? Like, why don't you say Ein Ruach Befihem? What's Ein Yesh Ruach Befihem? So the answer is as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves a vacuum. That vacuum exists. Like we said, this ilmus is a power. Ivrus is a power. En is a state of being. There's one place where it's not. Avodah Zarah is an illusion. Ein yesh ruach b'fiyam means it's not a state of not. It is an illusion. The yesh is en. En yesh ruach b'fiyam. It is an illusion. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a vacuum in the Bria, that vacuum is, it's a positive creation. It's done something. When it's not, then the pshat is that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it there. When Avodah Zarah is something that has no yeshus whatsoever. Everything else in the Bria has yeshus as well. It's interesting also, the Balaturim over here says that the Balaturim says that Tohu Vavohu are both gematria. The word Tohu is a gematria for 11, and that's connected to the years that the first Beis Hamikdash was up and then became Chara. Vavohu is Ramez, he has a pasuk for the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. The kids of Tohu and Vohu are both Meramis on the Churbanis of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. I think what he means to say is that Tohu Vavohu means it's an emptiness. Just like Rashi says, it's an emptiness which arouses wonder. It's not the pshat. Today we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. We're lacking Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is Charev. As we, every time we look at the Makom HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying no. It's not he's not talking, he's saying no. And that's a certain expression of it's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis Hamikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, when it doesn't have it, it arouses astonishment. The same way, like Rashi says, when you have an empty world, we look at the Makom HaMikdash, we don't say, well, there happened to be a war 2,000 years ago, it destroyed Beis HaMikdash, there's been a lot of politics since then, and we haven't been able to get permits to rebuild it, and that's why it's not there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not building it. There's a certain projection of a message, of a positive message, not positive in the sense that it's good, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying something. Micha mocha be'ilm Hashem, micha mocha be'ilmim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks through illness as well. It's a positive message. I'd like to bring it over, transfer it over to, like we said before, to deal with Hashem Elohim on theological, mystical levels. It's very nice, but it doesn't do all that much good for us. I'd like to translate it into terms that are meaningful to us in some ways. We think of ourselves as believers because when things are not good, we know that the good comes from Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch gives us parnasa, and HaKadosh Baruch gives us seichel, and HaKadosh Baruch gives us refuah, and so on and so forth. That, we feel very good about it. We're ma'aminim, and we trust, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im Hashem lo yishmeir, shav shakat shomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have it. That's the way we believe on a religious way. It's fine, it's good for Umas Olam. It's not enough for us in Klal Yisrael. A person has a life of accomplishments and goals and challenges, and he thinks that the following: if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the tools, great. If not, what can I do? Onus Rachman Patre. How do we know what the tools are? People who build Mekomos Torah, yeshivas, and so on, a lot of times say, well, to build a yeshiva I need a budget of X, Y, or Z. If I don't have it, what could I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it. I didn't have Tzav Yishmaya. Sometimes, when you see a place that's being miskayim b'mesiris nefesh, it makes a much more profound impact than a place where everything is geshmir. We don't know. We it's not up to us. But we have to start looking at things that are lacking, not as absence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me these tools, and sometimes what I don't have is a tool. I look around in a yeshiva setting. I've grown up in yeshivas most of my life. I started the mir when I was a young boy and been in Mekom Shel Torah. You ask yourself, who can be mashpia on somebody else to learn? Sometimes you say a big ilui who knows Kol HaTorah Kula and splashes you with shas and poskim all over and knows everything everywhere is mashpia. In some ways it's mashpia. You have somebody who's a very middle Bachushan and he works very hard at getting down piece by piece. And he says to himself, if only I had that brain and I was such an ilui, I could be mashpia on everybody. Is it true? Sometimes the gear that that person has to have radiates to other people and says, this is the chshivas of Torah. I have a friend of mine, you might know him because you might read it, Jonathan Rosenblum, who writes a lot of columns. He went to Yale, he went to a very prestigious law school in Chicago, I forgot the name, he graduated second in his class, his family was one of the great wealthy reform families in Chicago. And he became a Baal Tshuva somewhere before I knew him. And sometimes, at one point, there was a confrontation with somebody else in Chicago, and the person asked him, how'd you become from? Why'd you become from? He said he had a friend of his friend's no longer Gedalia Ordentlich, I think his name was, who was in Oxford, and he knew a half a dozen languages, classic languages, brilliant, brilliant person. He became Baal Tshuva, sitting and learning the yeshiva. He had six children in two rooms, and he took in a Down syndrome child to support himself. In other words, the government gave something for foster care. And he said, when I saw that, I said, I don't know what this is, but if it's worth living like that for Torah, there must be something to it. We would think, yeah, if I have a nice apartment, I introduce somebody, this is the Torah world, I have an eight-room apartment, and this and that. The other thing, it'll make a good impression. If you come into two cramped rooms with the Down syndrome child also there, you say to yourself, how do you know? Maybe that's the tool. There's a beautiful Meister Putner, they have, he wrote, like, sort of, what's the right word for it? He sort of scribbled, doodled a little note to himself when he was young Bacher, and it's printed in the Chmichtav in Igris. He says, I have two friends. One of them says to me, whenever I knock upstairs, nobody's home. I got to know him a little bit, Rav Putner writes, and I realized he's a shallow person. The second chav of mine once remarked to me, whenever I knock upstairs, they run to hide from me. He said, I got to know that person, and there's a lot of depth to him. We have to understand that when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, means we inherit everything in the universe as a positive action. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't leave out anything. There are no unpainted corners. There are corners that have been not painted, but there are not unpainted corners. Wherever you go through life, every single person of us has a tafkid in life. Every single person of us is going to have tools and things that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And we're going to have things that we're missing. And a lot of times, we're going to try to excuse ourselves that we're not doing because of what we don't have. And on that, Emunah in our Havaya is the determining factor. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Misom pele adam o miyosum ilein, oy cheresh oy pekech oiva halo nochi Havaya. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Havaya, then what we have or what we don't have are equally given to us. Just like we have to think about what we have, why we have it, we have to understand why we don't have what we don't have, like the Bria that you wonder at its emptiness. And when a person lives with that, he lacks nothing. He has everything. Because sometimes poverty is what he needs. And sometimes it's a struggle with understanding what he needs. And sometimes it's a struggle with other people's what's needed. Everything in the world is a positive tool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of Noichi Havayim. What do I think about the yeshiva? Whatever, I don't know. Want something about the yeshiva, or if anybody wants to speak to me, or whatever, it's fine. I'm open to. What about the shmooze? It's fine.